This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are Thanks for Visiting.
We are going to start off our episode like we do each and every week with our hashtag STR Share Sunday. If you're new to our podcast, no worries. STR stands for short-term rental. You can also call it your Airbnb, your Vrbo, your vacation rental, but short-term rental really sums it up. And if you use this hashtag on Instagram, we are prowling the hashtag and we are sharing any of you who use it with our podcast listeners and our Instagram followers. And Annette, who are we following or who are we highlighting this week?
We are highlighting at Basecamp at Cedar Fork. So that's a tongue twister there with all that. But again, at Basecamp at Cedar Fork. And this is some foreshadowing for our guests, but they are hosts that have an amazing treehouse, and it is unbelievable. So listeners, if you are able to during this episode, please get out your smartphone or your laptop and check out at Basecamp at Cedar Fork. You're going to want to jump in your car right away and go stay with them. It's unbelievable. One of the coolest things though, I'm going to have to say, they have a bunker just in case the weather gets a little bad, because it is.
And that told me that. And I was like, do you mean like underground?
Yes.
Like I can like go and hide? That's so smart. You know how we feel about safety here at Thanks for Visiting. So
yeah. So I think that's, I have not seen that before. This place is just unbelievable. They do, every guest gets a welcome message on their logoed postcard that just makes them feel right at home. But this is a special place. Please check them out. And yeah, check out their safety amenities with the bunker. That Sarah and I like to highlight something that we've never seen before. And that is something fresh to our eyes.
Yeah, and it's hosted by Casey and Waylon. They've got 35 reviews. So, you know, why don't you go ahead and give them some fellow host love and support as they continue on their journey. And Annette, another cool thing too is they're not calling it a treehouse. They're calling it a tree lot.
That's
right.
Which
I thought was interesting too. So probably another niche market there. So Casey and Waylon, way to go. Thanks for using our hashtag. Listeners, go ahead and give them some love and support on Instagram and or on Airbnb. Annette, should we get started in today's show?
Yes, let's do it.
Oh my gosh. You guys, we truly have short-term rental celebrities on the show today. We have one of the number one Airbnbs in South Carolina. And we've got Tori and Seth who are on the show today. They are owners and creators of Bolt Farm Treehouse. They are dedicated to creating inspiring luxury nature retreats that help travelers reconnect and experience transformative travel. You can, of course, keep up with them on their Instagram account, which is Bolt Farm Treehouse, in case you want to check them out while you're listening to them tell their story. But Tori and Seth, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Is this correct? I'm going to, because we said one of, I think you guys have been voted like the number one Airbnb in South Carolina. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. BuzzFeed named us that. We were so excited.
Because I want the listeners to know how huge this is that you're on and listening. Let's just go through some of the celebrities or just noted guests that have stayed at your tree houses.
Yeah, we've been blown away. It's been amazing. We've been able to host Brian and Brittany Kelly from Florida Georgia Line, country singer Kelsey Ballerini, the cast from Southern Charm, if anyone's a Southern Charm watcher.
I think you even have a quote from Brian Chesky of Airbnb about your space too. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. We did not host Brian at our space, but we met with him at Airbnb HQ and we were talking about it and he said some really kind things. Apparently Bolt Farm Treehouse was already on his radar.
Yeah. That was such a cool thing to hear him say that. He was like, this is so magical. He was like, I wanted to use a treehouse slide in my last keynote speech. And he's like, and if I had have had this photo, he was referencing one that we brought and had up on the wall. He was like, I would have totally used this.
And I was like, what?
That's amazing, you guys. So, all right. So our listeners are intrigued. You're number one. You've got the CEO of Airbnb's attention. You host celebrities and other amazing guests. Tell us your story. How did you create this amazing space? Why did you create it? And then we'll go from there.
Yes. I've got to say also that we just celebrated a really big milestone, which is our 500th five-star review. That's been something that, you know, it's been a goal of ours and we just reached it this past month. So our team is, you know, on top of the world for that.
That's so exciting.
And then in terms of, you know, where this all started, I built the first treehouse for my wedding and honeymoon with Tori. And I wanted to be a surprise for her. My dad's a builder. I grew up doing construction, and then I also have traveled the world with my band Need to Breathe. And so I've gotten to experience just every different type of accommodation you can imagine over like 15 plus years of traveling. So I think that's part of it. You know, part of being a good host, I think, starts with experiencing great hospitality. And that's certainly something that that I've been lucky to experience. Typically, when people in bands get treated pretty well. You know, there's been times we've toured with Taylor Swift and things like that. And one time, mistakenly, a hotel thought we were Taylor Swift, and so they literally had like over 100 feet of red carpet stretched out for our tour bus when we woke up that morning. Welcomed us up to the penthouse suite, and then we were like, we could tell they were like, oh. They're realizing now we're not Taylor Swift, but they've already kind of hooked us up with the penthouse suite. And that kind of inspired, not that one particular example, but sort of the penthouse suite in my mind was sort of what I wanted to create in a treehouse. Because before I build anything, I typically just look around at what everyone else has done to see where there is, you know, a lot of creativity, where there's inspiration. And then like a lot of artists just take and borrow from everyone, you know, and kind of like just use all that as fuel for my creativity to create something original that covers all those bases and touches on all that thoughtfulness. And for the first treehouse I built, I knew that it was going to be a place, you know, that is forever special to us. And I really wanted to wow Tori with what I built. So having our honeymoon in mind really also put some like, some positive creative pressure on me to make sure that I really delivered with the whole look of it, the feel of it, all five senses, you know, is what I was trying to make sure that I touched on.
And as y'all know, I mean, tree houses can vary from like a little fort in the backyard. It can be anything. And so I think having our wedding and honeymoon in mind set that level of luxury for how over the top we wanted it to be and feel, not only for us, but for the guests who would come after.
Yeah.
So you did know while you were building it, though, you had a plan that it would then pivot into a short-term rental. Was that the plan all along?
That was the thought. Yeah. I mean, this was back and I think I conceptualized this in like 2013 or 14. And it took me 2 years to convince my parents to actually to go along with this idea and build it. And that was, you know, part of the selling point. I was like, you know, I really think, you know, Treehouse Masters was a super popular show at the time, still is. And so there was this awareness of treehouses nationwide based on that show, but there weren't really that many treehouses you can go and stay in. So I knew that, you know, by building it, there was a good chance that, you know, it could be successful on Airbnb. The small town where I grew up, you know, is not a tourist hotspot by any stretch of the imagination. No one really knows about it, but I was like, I just want to give this a try. You know, I think that I can make it compelling enough and visually stimulating enough that, and really just paint the picture of what's available to people, not just architecturally, but in terms of the full experience, you know, that affects you emotionally and maybe even spiritually, having a place where you can go and disconnect from the busyness of life and reconnect with the person you love, reconnect with nature, and reconnect with the divine. You know, just having the room to do that is something that is largely absent from our culture and our day-to-day lives. So it requires intentionality. And I believe that environments really foster that. And so I was very careful with what went into the environment. And one thing that's interesting to point out is that smaller spaces are more conducive to this that I'm describing, you know, a space that can be inspiring. And also smaller spaces, you can put more into it. You know, your budget will go farther if you have less rooms to decorate. So I was thinking, look, you know, with this treehouse being like one large king suite, I want to just really go all out with it and make it to where every single surface has been thought about and every component of the room has been given, you know, just a tremendous consideration for its function and for its beauty so that when people walk through the door, they are just blown away. They don't know where to look next, but it's thrilling and it's sensational. It's an experience.
Tori, did you have any design or just input at all on this honeymoon suite, or was it all a surprise?
I did not. It was a surprise. Blown away. Like, seriously, when people meet us or stay at the treehouses, they're shocked to know that Seth is the designer. I am more the project manager, keep the team running. I mean, with the treehouses that we built in Charleston, that was very collaborative. But a lot of times it's Seth having this crazy vision and idea in his head, and I try to make it come to life, but it's definitely a team effort.
She's being modest. She's super helpful with design because she's really steers me in the right direction most of the time on everything that we have been building since then.
So I have a slew of questions, but I want to start on something that you mentioned kind of in passing regarding you built the first treehouse in a place that wasn't really a destination location. Is that, did I hear that correct?
That's correct. It's a rural area. It's the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, this little town called Wahala, in South Carolina, and it's really gorgeous. And, you know, when most of us think of like a tourist destination, it's typically an urban area, but I really love the trend that is happening right now where people are getting back outdoors. And when they think of getting away, they think about going to some beautiful rural space where, you know, there's lots of fresh air and trees and beauty. I mean, speaking from experience, I mean, my work playing music has me in cities all the time. And I just, because I grew up out in the woods in the country, I longed for that. You know, the constant roar of a city and the noise, you know, you never really get that peace and quiet. And then a lot of times you're just looking at brick and mortar. And, you know, even that experience affected me as a tourist. You know, I'm like, look, every city is just basically a different configuration of brick and mortar. And, you know, it's not as impressive to me what has been constructed as it is what exists naturally in these spaces that, you know, are rarely explored. So that to me is just so much more original. And that's why we like building out in rural areas, because there's you know, untouched beauty, and it gives everyone who lives in cities the ability to experience nature in a very special way and make lasting memories.
Well, what a great message too to our listeners that you two have built something. You know, a lot of we all say in real estate, right? Location, location, location. I know that you know your location is special, but the world didn't know it yet. You had to kind of build this really unique space for them to come and stay in, for them to understand what was around them already, you know, in your area. How has that original location, how has the community responded to your success with that treehouse?
So yeah, from my small town, it's been very positive. You know, my parents get questions all the time, and now there are other people in the area who have built treehouses too. I think they've seen how successful it's been, and you know, and are you know, creating their own types of experiences that are they're like treehouses.
That's amazing. And going off of that, what is your feeling with, because that's one thing, because you touch on two things that Annette and I get messaged about a lot. Number one is, well, I don't live in a tourist destination, or I don't live anywhere, quote unquote, special. Could I still build something special or do a short-term rental? And obviously the answer is, of course, you just have to let your creativity take you there. And two is, you know, now that you started something, you're inspiring others, but does that create any sort of competition, or are you kind of a there's plenty room for all of us type of person?
Yeah.
Yeah, we feel like there's plenty of room for all of us. We have an abundance mindset, and we champion other people who are creating treehouses. We did this big campaign for a long time, a couple of years ago, where every Tuesday we did a Treehouse Tuesday, and we'd highlight another Airbnb host and cool treehouse. My only advice is be creative, be original. You know, it's not fair to rip off someone else's
sure,
idea. And we have seen some of that. So that part's not fun, but in terms of going out there, building a treehouse and creating more experiences where people can, you know, really get in touch with nature again, we're all about it.
Yeah, it's okay to borrow one, maybe two facets from someone else, but not like 10 or 12. So then you're just not doing anything original. And
it's like, come on.
And I'll say that we listen to our guests. We frequently take the opportunity to ask them questions. And one of the questions that we were really interested in is, how far are people willing to drive for a unique experience?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, man, we are shocked.
Yeah. So out of the, we had 2,500 responses on this, and 80% of people were willing to drive 1 hour or more if it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really surprised by that, because I was thinking, like, you know, probably like a lot of your listeners, like, well, you know, gosh, I'm like 45 minutes from an airport. People are going to want to fly in and, you know, drive no more than like 15 or 20 minutes to get to their place. But if your rental is an experience, if it's experiential, or if you're just great at marketing and decorating and you have good reviews and check the boxes, you know, people will drive to you. Mm-hmm. I think that is the new economy that's really changed everything, is people don't look for a destination and then look for what's close by. They look for where they want to stay first, and
right,
then they just find a way to get there.
This is an interesting segue. We have to talk about it because you had popularity in these tree houses pre-COVID. And now what is happening during COVID, just with your business, with people wanting to get outside, with that drivability, have you seen, what's kind of changed for you since you were already, because, you know, during this whole situation, Sarah and I have been talking about, you know, like, hey, you've got to create an experience. What sets you apart? You two already had that. So what has that done for you during the pandemic?
Yeah, it's been really interesting to watch. I mean, we have had, I feel like, more inquiries than ever, people wanting to get out of cities and escape to the rural areas. This year, we hosted probably more honeymooners than we ever have in a short period of time, because so many people, unfortunately, had, you know, plans overseas and couldn't fly and couldn't travel there anymore. So now they have the budget, they have the time carved out, but they just don't have a place to go. And so we saw that happening, and we really tried to cater to them and connect with them. And so that was something really neat this year that we saw too.
I yeah. This is kind of going back a couple of steps because I just want our listeners to know and us. When you were talking about the design, Seth, what is the average square footage of your tree houses?
Yeah, we're probably at like 600 to 700 square feet of indoor space. And then the decking is kind of where we,
thrive.
Really go nuts and like have a lot of outdoor space because we build our tree houses and domes in like very beautiful places. We want nature to be the star and we build everything from the ground up so that we can guarantee that the experience that people have when they go there is entirely curated for them. So, you know, we will, if it's a romantic getaway, if that's the theme, you know, then everywhere you look, there's places where two people can sit and talk and hang out and be comfortable. If it's a, something for, groups or friends and family, you know, we've taken all that into consideration with where we put it and how it's laid out. So building from the ground up really gives us the ability to customize the space with an exact customer in mind. Mm-hmm. And that does make a big difference. I know not everyone, you know, some people are just sort of restoring spaces and it's fixed. But for us and our model and what we do, we just found that we have ultimate flexibility and we're able to really wow people by making sure that we've checked every box and making sure also that we live in the space ourselves. I think that's one thing that can be, I've noticed this, that, you know, I guess when some people kind of get into being an Airbnb host, they're not sure if it's going to work or not, and they don't want to invest too much time or energy into it. And then that really gets them off to a slow start because
you can feel it, right?
Yeah.
Like we learn so much by, like Seth was saying, spending time in the places that we build. We lived in a treehouse for like almost 2 years. That was excessive because we just fell in love and like did not want to leave. But just part of our process is spending a good amount of time being like, all right, do I need an outlet here for my phone charger? Is this mirror tall enough? Like you learn a lot just by being in the space. And as a traveler, you can feel when someone's done that or when they cut corners.
Ooh, listeners, that is some gold right there that you could do immediately. If you've got any space in your calendar, is go take a staycation at your own place and see what might be missing if you haven't spent some nights there, if A, ever, or B, recently, because that the building is a living, breathing space that changes and needs that care.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's and I guess a good litmus test there is to, you know, if you're a host and you haven't stayed in your place for a while, you know, ask yourself why. And if the reasons are that, well, you don't necessarily have everything you need or whatever, then make those improvements to your space. Like make it to where you would eat more rather stay in it when it's empty than where you live, because then you've really accomplished a place that feels like home.
That is a good test. If you'd rather stay in your short-term rental than your own home, you nailed it. If you didn't, maybe you need to go back and reassess a few things. And that could be the key to really changing around, you know, your bottom line in terms of the business that you're running. So that's also gold. There's two little nuggets there that are really good.
They're great.
So talk to us about, so this one treehouse happened. You rocked it out. You obviously enjoy the art of hosting and creating unique spaces. So how many do you guys have now? And how was that adding more than one to your portfolio? Did it change things? Are Tori, are you focused mostly on this? Talk to us about that whole dynamic.
Yeah. So after the first treehouse after we realized that it was a huge success and we had a 6-month waiting list, we're like, okay, time to build more. And so flash forward, we have our place just outside of Charleston where there are 4 more treehouses. But what we're really beaming about is at the time that this episode is airing, I'm sure, we have just announced all the details about our 3rd location, which is in just outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we have doubled down once again. We're building 10 units, tree houses and geodesic domes for the first time. And we're over the moon because we realize that people do want to come out and stay. And our biggest issue so far has been inventory, not having enough. So we are in the process of fixing that right now.
Yeah, the place that we have found is, I mean, absolutely unbelievable. Hard to put into words, but imagine you're on top of a mountain. It is a mountaintop. And you can see for miles in every direction. It's a super panoramic view. There's a quarter mile of bluff frontage. Mm-hmm. So there's a, you know, beautiful, gorgeous rock face that is visible that's on the front side of the property. And then everyone gets a front row view of this gorgeous valley, Tennessee.
It's like 5 or 6 miles wide. And mm-hmm. in the morning, y'all, it's magical. Like, it's foggy and just like nothing but clouds. And then as the day goes on, it kind of evaporates and you see this gorgeous view.
And you're actually up in the clouds, you know. Some mornings, this 5 miles of valley with a mountain range on the other side fills completely with fog or clouds, and it looks like you're above the clouds. So even there, I mean, even if we had, you know, just tents or something, people would have an amazing time because of how incredible the setting is. So we kind of feel like starting from a place like that, you know, if you have the ability to build something from scratch or to buy land, if this is an investment or a business for you and you're looking to do it that way, we're very, very picky about where we build, because we know that if we get that part right, we could mess up the rest of it and people are still going to be on top of the world.
I mean, that's the thing. Nature's literally a start.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nature's.
My question to you there is, like, so people are asking, at least I'm asking, so I'm sure someone else is too, is with as big as our country is and as amazing locations as we have, how does someone search for that perfect piece of like, how did you guys find it? Any tips on anyone else who is on their own search for like a place to put their flag down and create a place for people to come and visit?
Yeah. I mean, I think first of all, you just have to be patient because if you're like us, we had a very clear picture in mind of what we're looking for and a punch list. We knew that we needed to be on a mountaintop. We knew we wanted X, Y, and Z.
Expansive views.
Right. And so we did not settle. It took a long time to find it. But I will say things are changing now because, you know, 2 years ago, we really wanted to be in close proximity to an airport. And today that doesn't matter as much. So now we were more so looking at, okay, are we within driving distance from these highly populated cities? Because now people, it seems like, are driving more than they're flying. But in terms of things to look for, I mean, I found this property on Redfin, like straight up to Redfin. But there's a lot, if you're looking for specifically like rural properties, there's sites like Land and Farm and like, I'm blanking out. But, you know, Some that are just catered specifically to that. And you can edit your search parameters to look for a certain acreage or mountaintop, waterfront, like whatever you have in mind.
Yes. And Google Maps was our best friend too. I mean, especially looking at the earth in 3D, there's a 3D setting you can click. And we would look at, you know, dozens of properties every day, you know, from the comfort of our home without walking around on raw land and trying to figure out where in the world we were. Because we've done that before. And you're like, I don't know if I'm in the right place, but this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's super helpful. And that was definitely something that we recommend using as a tool.
No, those are great tips. Thanks for sharing that.
And I have to admit, like, when you were explaining the property, I had a huge thing of jealousy. I'm like, man, they have this awesome space. It must be like a connection they had. They must have had an inside scoop on this land. And I freaking love that you found it on the internet. Like, I love that that your only advantage here was that you did it. And I want our listeners to hear that of like, there was no, you know, in real estate, there's always pocket deals or somebody like they knew about the deal before it hit the market. And I just love that. That was not the case here at mm-hmm. all. So that's a great message to everyone out there that's looking for that. I want to know is your dad still helping build these properties? Is what's going on when you're going to go into another state and try to do this? Or is that going to be a challenge?
Yeah, no, he's not. He works full time and has a construction business of his own. And that was just a really fun project that we did together for the first one. We started on Father's Day and it was so cool. I grew up building so much stuff with my dad. We built the house that my parents still live in together, you know, probably like 15 years before that. So this was kind of the first time that we had worked together in a long time. And it was really special and really hats off to him. And my mom, because we, Tori and I get all the credit a lot of times for that first treehouse when he deserves it. And she deserves it because, I literally had the idea and I just like drew it on a napkin in their kitchen and he built it. And that is a special gift and a talent that cannot be underappreciated.
And if you end up staying at the Majestic Treehouse at that first property, there's a good chance that you'll see Larry and Regina. I mean, they're the people on the ground there. Regina will show her Southern hospitality to our guests, giving them like sweet treats and surprises. And Larry's always working on something and a new addition around the treehouse and deck.
Yeah, my mom is the reason why we have 500 five-star reviews because you know, there are always things that come up that are totally unexpected. You know, there might be a leak in the roof and it's the first time it's happened, but you know, lo and behold, somebody's getting woken up in the middle of the night with water dripping on their face, you know? So how do you save that review? And my mom, would coordinate with our administrator and, you know, she would say, hey, you know, this has happened. And my mom would like bake them cookies or bring them something fresh from their garden or any number of things. I mean, just your personality, I think, is enough to really make people feel loved. And many times there would be mistakes that would happen during someone's stay, but because of how well we responded to them, and they would be even a bigger fan, even more of a fan of us, because something happened and then we went above and beyond to take care of them and make sure that it did not impact the rest of their trip.
Truly, that is our opportunity as hospitality providers to show them that nothing is going to trip us up from making sure you have the absolute best day possible, right? We can't take back that thing happened, but we sure can respond to it in a unique and creative way to show you that we care. And I think some of our listeners will reach out and they get kind of freaked out because this or that happened. It's like, right, but now you have the opportunity to, you know, let your creative juices fly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the other property in Charleston, who takes care of the day-to-day there? Is there someone on site?
Yes, we have a small but amazing team. For a long time, we lived on the property. I mean, we, just to paint this picture for you, we lived in a camper on raw land while we built that place. So we were there every day making sure that the treehouses were being built right and as quickly as possible. And that's when I said earlier, we ended up just staying longer than anticipating. And we lived in the treehouse for quite some time. And it was actually really, really funny because we were hosting guests and they didn't even know that we were there on the property.
Love that.
Well, this is a dream for us. And I want to encourage everyone listening to really dream big and like, you know, visualize, you know, what it is you want to create. I mean, obviously you're listening to this podcast for a reason. You're either a host or you're expanding your business. So many different places that people could be. But the one thing that has really worked for us is defining our dream and going for it with the level of determination that is just will not be shaken. We sold our house so that we could do this. And that there was no going back, you know, like here we are, we're in a camper in the woods. There's no electricity. There's no air conditioning. There's nothing, you know.
Might not be right for everyone. So I'm not saying you need to sell your house right now.
But I mean, obviously our ambitions were much bigger than our resources. So it was what it required for us to do that. And even to do this project that we're building now. But because we believe in ourselves and what we provide and the experience and how much it can impact people, we're going to be able to host over 5,000 people a year at this new location in Tennessee.
Wow.
But, you know, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of sort of like guts to do it, especially in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
We we had plans to do this. And when everything started happening, you know, it was tempting to just be like, you know what, this is a big investment. This is a big risk. And, you know, we should probably just sit on this for a while. But we had already made up our mind we were doing it. And so we were like, let's just run after it as hard as we can and get as far as we can. And we'll, you know, we'll see what happens. So we actually have broken ground, you know, like we're building now. And we had no idea how things would work out. We didn't know that that the travel industry would get flipped entirely upside down, and that people would lose their appetite for staying in urban centers and hotels. And instead, they would be coming to our doorstep, you know, out in the mountains on top of a mountain where, I mean, nature retreats, the original social distancing. So we were already planning and preparing the place that everyone's looking for. So I'm really glad that we didn't quit. We didn't give up on ourselves or give up on our dream. We kept charging ahead toward it. And I'm really happy that now we are just a couple of months away from being able to host our first guest at this new mountaintop retreat in Tennessee.
I know. And we get to be the place where people can finally reconnect with their friends, family, and loved ones after such a hard year and a lot of time apart. So that's something that we have just been thinking about and dreaming about, is being that place for reconnection.
Oh, you guys, the work you're doing is so important. So Net and I, we always say we can't wait to come and experience one of your places. And now I feel like, hey, Kate, they have more inventory.
Yeah, we got to get on the wait list before this airs. Yeah, we got to get on the wait list before this airs. Okay. In chatting with you and in some of our emails back and forth, I really, I love, you guys use the term transformative travel. And I just want to, like, can you explain that for us? What is your definition of transformative travel?
Yeah, that is kind of the heartbeat behind what we do. Is it's, we provide more than just a place to rest your head. It's an experience. And we hope that our guests leave better after spending a few days at one of our nature retreats. And so a few things that we do is, you know, we don't have TV. We do have Wi-Fi, but we don't give you the password unless you really, really need it, because we encourage you to use this time at our place to take a digital detox. We're all glued to our phones and there's so much noise, right? And things vying for our attention. And so we feel like when you are in an inspiring environment and you know, are away from the distractions of everyday life, amazing things can happen. And our guests are the ones who have made us believe that. I mean, just reading the guest book, talking to them, hearing their testimonials, it's incredible. We've had people say that a couple nights at our place added 25 years to their marriage, like, because they finally had the time and space to talk about really hard things that they just never had a chance to.
Or they'll say something like, you know, just from raising kids, we drifted apart and haven't had really much close time, but I feel like I rediscovered my best friend on this trip.
Oh, I know. Yeah, so we try to set beautiful. Them up to win, you know, with little things that encourage that, and by taking away the distractions.
And will this be the same theme at your Tennessee location?
It will. I mean, actually, we're so excited. We are introducing a handful of new themes, and we'll be able to host a lot more people groups and types of travelers. So up until this point, we've pretty much been, you know, a romantic place for couples. Adults only, no pets, yada, yada. But again, we are always listening to our guests and feedback and, you know, potential guests, and so many people want to travel with their kids, and now they can do that. So we're building a couple family-friendly units. So many people want to bring their pets, so we're doing a pet-friendly dome, a couple pet-friendly units, and
one new thing that's evolved, and we just responded to, you know, what's happening in the world is working from home.
The work from home dome.
Yeah, we're calling it the work from home dome,
and.
By some miracle, we have gigabit internet on this mountaintop. Chattanooga just has really fast internet, and so we are in a rural space, but you can actually Zoom faster than you can at home and be on top of a mountain.
So we'll have a place really designed for people who can work remotely, so that they have a comfortable workspace and everything that they need.
Okay, I have a question for you, since you're expanding. And obviously you have beautiful spaces. You both have an eye for construction and building and design. But and your mom has, you know, she was the original, you know, concierge or receptionist, if you will, or greeter to your guests. Now that you're expanding, how involved will you be with the hospitality procedures, with your brand standards as they relate to how a guest is greeted, how you respond to them on any, you know, of the booking apps, the welcome, like how branded is this whole thing? And I'm sure people have approached you too to maybe bring your expertise and your designs all over the country. And would you do something like that? Like, where are you guys going with this, I guess, is a good question.
That's a great question. We're very systems minded. I mean, for any business to scale, you have to know exactly what you do, how you do it, and even put it in writing so that if you, the host, you know, are needing help, or you have a cleaning company you work with, you know, like they have to know what your standard is, and it can't be, you know, loosey goosey, like, oh, you just verbally tell them and hope they remember it. You know, they need photos, they need videos of what it's supposed to look like, reference pictures. We have an itemized checklist for the cleaning. We have templates for our emails. We you know, everything, every step of the process of interacting with a guest, both before they stay, how they're welcomed when they arrive, all that has been thought through. And yet, and my mom, so much of that was inspired by the way that my mom did it. And then we also, for our team, we have a company book club. So every week we're meeting and discussing some book. We just
read The New Gold Standard, which is Ritz-Carlton's principles for hospitality and leadership. Yes. Highly recommend. Yeah. Yes. And so we've adopted some of those principles. We do, this might be overkill for some people, but if you're hosting full-time, we do a daily huddle with our team. And it's just a great time to have a touch point to talk about the incoming guests. Oh, do we have a birthday, an anniversary? And to really just make sure that everyone's on the same page. So in terms of involvement, we're very involved, but we made sure that it is systematized so that it doesn't, that we're not the bottleneck. You know, we can go on building the next property and we're not holding things up in Chattanooga or Charleston.
Yeah. Our goal from early on was like, how can we be the Ritz-Carlton of treehouses? How do we make it not just a 5-star experience, but like a 10-star experience? What would that look like? We actually wrote that out. You know, okay, well, what would a 6-star experience look like? Well, what would a 7-star experience look like? And okay, how can we do as many of these things as possible so that we're providing more value than you know, any other Airbnb on the market or hotel room? And then we also stole from the Ritz-Carlton their concept of wowing guests. And so our property manager, one of their key performance indicators is how many wows they deliver in 1 month. And so they're actually kind of gamifies it a little bit and makes it fun to where
looking for ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking for opportunities to just blow people away with thoughtfulness. And we'll go so far as to do a survey for people when on their way in so that we can find out exactly, you know, what kind of who their favorite musical artist is. And if we have that on vinyl, we'll put that in their room.
If you want to get real fun with it, like if you can find some of your guests on Instagram and discover that, oh, you know, Molly loves blue M&Ms, and to like show up and have a bowl of blue M&Ms, it just is those little touches that might cost less than $5, but really blow them away.
It makes them feel known. Mm-hmm. They feel at home.
That, like, and when you say little touches, that's a huge, that one gesture could totally change the entire experience for that guest. It's like it's the personalization of the space for them. So we've got the vinyl records. Love that. Potentially the blue M&Ms. What are some other wow? Like, I love some of these examples. What are some other examples you can give our guests of some of these wow factors that you've been incorporating?
I mean, anything from a handwritten note, like it can be so short and
simple.
With a wax
seal.
Oh, we do a wax seal. We do. Yeah, I love super fancy. But it just depends. I mean, we've had guests where someone was on a baby moon. And so we left them 2 champagne glasses and a bottle of sparkling cider because we knew that she wouldn't be drinking alcohol. You know, so things like that where it's like, oh my gosh, they really paid attention to why I'm visiting. I think anything like that goes a really long way.
Love that.
I love how you two have, I said it before, but it's just, yes, it's about the space and the treehouse is obviously amazing and unique and super cool, but you've completed it by just being really thoughtful about what's going on before they arrive, when they arrive, during their stay, after their stay. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? The Ritz-Carlton would be just another fancy hotel if they didn't have those wow factors or those ways to surprise and delight our guests. And that's how you guys are going to be able to successfully do what you're doing, because you've got these checklists and systems in play, and you've got the whole package, you guys. I cannot wait to stay in one of your spaces. I'm truly so excited.
Thank you. Yeah, come on up to the work from home dome, and
we'll record a podcast.
Yeah,
from there.
We'll do a bunch of podcasting from there. I love that. Speaking of just systems, can you share? I want to get some more knowledge for our listeners. Are there any like favorite apps that you and your team use to either communicate or you know, what's something that your team uses that helps, you know, kind of keep everyone in line?
Yeah, we use Asana for project management. Mm-hmm. It's super helpful. You can tag people, talk directly, add attachments and photos, and have different folders for different projects. So love Asana. And then we're a smaller team, so we use WhatsApp for just culture, communication, and just fun stuff, celebrating wins. I know bigger companies, we use Slack, but Asana, WhatsApp,
yeah. Those are,
I mean, and then I feel like our everything lives in Google Drive. We yeah. just use it for everything.
Gotcha. There was one thing, this is kind of more, and I think it's in Charleston. I feel like you have some limitations on short-term rentals in one of the locations that you're in, and that you have to have 31 day plus stays. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, for monthly stays, that is the requirement in Charleston County. And I will say that obviously, if you've been an Airbnb host for a while, you've seen how regulation of Airbnb can be an existential threat to your business. And I feel like, you know, for us, even a couple of years ago, like when we started building our place in Charleston, there were no rules or regulations on Airbnb. And then all of a sudden they were adopted, and it meant that we, you know, could not offer more than like 72 short-term rentals per night, which
per year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Per year. So that was just
it's devastating.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Devastating. So that's why we've had to pivot to monthly stays there, and, why we have, you know, we quickly started looking for a different place to run our business. And the zoning and regulation stuff, we honestly did not know what we were getting into when we built that. We had a dream and we were in a lot of determination and we did it, you know. But we have learned the value of you know, calling the government, calling your commissioners, calling your mayor, you know, like finding out, hey, is there a discussion right now of Airbnb regulations? Like, before you spend any money, yes, and before you invest in an Airbnb business, make sure that you're not going to get a surprise,
yeah,
to where, you know, all that investment is going to get wiped away.
And get it in writing. But really, though.
Right.
You've worked it out, though, in some regard. I mean, is that because your places are so special and unique that guests have figured it out, or they'll pay for the 31 days but only stay for a week, or what ended up happening?
I mean, we feel so fortunate that we were able to have guests and have a full calendar this year of people who stayed month to month. I mean, part of it was just the way the world changed with COVID. And like I mentioned earlier, people with honeymoons that were suddenly canceled and they were able to come away for a long time, or a lot of people who work remotely and were able to work from a treehouse. So it did work out, but I mean, it wasn't ideal. And I think it's important to stress that, you know, people who see us or Bolt Farm Treehouse on Instagram, it all, you know, it might seem shiny and perfect, but it's hard. There's so much hard work, and Instagram is truly the highlight reel. we've worked and fought so yeah. hard for this.
It was super challenging, and yeah. really the what I credit success to is spending time meeting with our team, you know, listening to everyone who's on our team, you know, because we were asking ourselves, like, okay, you know, this is a pretty challenging request. Like, no one thinks, like, you know what, I'm going to go stay in a treehouse for a month. I mean, there's so many logistical concerns about, you know, do you have the space to cook, and like, can you get things delivered to you? And then simultaneously, it's like, well, who really would need that? And by looking to find out who I guess was experiencing the most pain from COVID, we quickly saw that it was couples who have had wedding plans and then their honeymoon was disrupted. They planned to go abroad. Now they can't leave the country or they can't get back in. So they were scrambling, looking for a place that they could go and rely on. And we made sure that we connected with them. Like, we focused all our attention on solving their problem. Mm-hmm. They loved it because not only did they get to take an extended honeymoon, but they got to start their life together post honeymoon in a place where they really just had space for themselves and space to just have great conversation and all the things that they wanted. So we were able to sort of rescue the honeymooners in that regard. But it did take a lot of work. You know, like, we had to speak directly in our marketing to the likely objections or questions or concerns that people would have about doing something like staying for 31 days in a treehouse. So if you think entirely about, you know, if you try to get inside the mind of your guest and make sure you solve all their problems and make sure that you address any of their concerns up front, then it's so much quicker, so much easier for them to, you know, for the light bulb to go off and for them to be like, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we stay here?
Wow. Way to go, guys. Annette, any other questions?
Number one, we need to have you back on. So will you come back on after you open up the next location? We want to have you back to kind of talk about what that experience has been like. But I think I'd love for you to just let our listeners know, like, if you had to do this all over again, I mean, is this exactly what you thought it was going to be? Like, what's something valuable that you can give them to just inspire them to go after whatever that you know, dream on the napkin is, their space?
I think it's been even more than we thought it would be. I had some theories about, you know, the positive impact that an inspiring environment could have on people, really just based on only what I knew about myself. So that's something that, you know, you can't always predict. You know, maybe you're unique, maybe you have specific preferences. I know that I can be that way. And this was really, this exploration in the first treehouse was just testing that out. And the one thing that really blew me away is that what we heard over and over from guests is, wow, you guys have thought of everything. And I like that they use the word thought of everything, because thoughtfulness was the operative word for me. You know, how can I bring thoughtfulness and creativity into, you know, every part of the experience? And the things that we've mentioned so far today, you know, like living in the space or literally looking at every surface and thinking about whether or not it's the best it can be, or if you're designing something from the ground up, thinking about every surface, like, man, how can I make this texture more appealing, or, you know, the color of the wall to make me feel a certain way. There's so many ways that you can inject thoughtfulness in it. And thoughtfulness is hospitality. You know, that is when people feel like someone was thinking of them, they feel cared for. And that's essential. And so the outcomes that we're experiencing, the stories that we're hearing, definitely give us energy. Yeah. Because there's so much about what we're doing that is, you know, extremely challenging and difficult. We've just finished 5 months of due diligence to break ground on the property, and none of that was fun.
I know everything about septic systems now. But really, but it is. It's so worth it to be able to do what we do and to be part of our guest stories and hosting people who are celebrating a special milestone. I mean, what an honor that we get to play a role in their anniversary or honeymoon and be part of their story.
And now we've gotten to the point where, you know, we have repeat guests, and it was our dream was like, man, could we make the experience so great that people want to come back here every year, you know, and then just make it their place.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy and Niati, remember they had their honeymoon in Charleston in the Wildflower Treehouse, and then they came back the next year on their baby moon.
Yeah, we had a campfire so with cool. them, and you know, we'll get a text from them saying like, welcome to the world, our new child, you know. So it is such an awesome opportunity to really make meaningful connections with people and to provide others with a space to make meaningful connections themselves that can have tremendous impact on the world. We had a couple stay with us last year, and they wrote to us, took the time to write to us and say, hey, we just want you guys to know that our kids are asking us, what happened that they're different. You know, they're like, you guys are different. And they dubbed it the treehouse effect. But they basically just took some of the promptings and nudges to be more intentional and spend time with your phone off, and what that trip did for them, manifested itself in a way that it was obvious to their kids that their parents were coming home, showing up, for them in a way that was better than they had seen before. And they gave it a name. So I mean, what we do in hospitality really does have the power to impact not just the people that we stay, but the people who they live with and love. And there's just so much tremendous potential for that. And there's so much creativity right now happening in hospitality because of Airbnb, because people are now empowered with the ability to transform any space or build any space and make it anything you want it to be. There are no limits. There are no boundaries. So don't, really the only limitations you have are the ones that you put on yourself. And Tori's constantly wrangling me in because I'm kind of just like, let's go for it. Let's just think of the most, experiential things possible. You know, even if it's something crazy.
And sometimes they are. I'm like, how are we going to pull this one off?
Well, we cannot thank you enough for your time. And we know that our listeners are just as thankful. And listeners, to give them some love back, go follow them on Instagram and make sure, like, if you have time, let's everybody jump on their wait list and hopefully put it on our list of travels to stay with Seth and Tori and experience one of their spaces. But Sarah, you have anything else at all?
Just thank you for you two and your creative minds and your I can do anything attitudes. You're going to inspire so many people with this episode. So we just truly appreciate you and your time and all that you're giving back to the short-term rental community here. So thank you.
And is there any place specifically you just want them to follow you on Instagram? Where do you want our listeners to follow you?
Connect with you.
Yeah, connect.
Yeah, Instagram, we're at Bolt Farm Treehouse. It's probably the best hub because there, the link in bio can take you to our website or the specific listings and
Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah, all of that good stuff. So,
and we are about to sell our first reservations for this new mountaintop
Black Friday
property in Tennessee. So, yes. To all your listeners, if you happen to grab a reservation, we're just doing a limited number and they typically sell out really fast. So if you do get on the waiting list, you'll be notified about that first. And
yeah,
if you come and stay, say hello because we will be there.
Yes. Spring 2021, baby.
Ohio is not far from Tennessee. So Annette, we got to be on this.
No, I just drove through there. So it's one tank of gas. We got this. No, easy breezy.
So good. Yeah.
You mentioned an hour to drive somewhere interesting. I was like, Annette and I have been known to drive 3 to stay in a tiny home in someone's backyard.
Someone's a back of their
neighborhood.
In their alley on a slab. But we loved it. And it was, we would do it all over again. And we will do it all over again.
We would.
All right, Seth and Tori, thank you so much. This was just truly, truly an amazing episode.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you for having
us. Thank you both.
Sure.
Yes. All right, listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are Thanks for Visiting.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.